Blog Talk Radio.
The blackness. Keep on.
See you if you offer it up now. Everything's gonna be all right.
Somebody sing with me. Offer it up to him right now. I need all the willing women to just sing with us. Say,
amen, 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 amen. Welcome, welcome, people of God. Welcome, welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I am your host, Minister Faith Walker, also known as Minister Brown. We have a wonderful broadcast for you this evening, full of empowerment. This is used to empower the people of God through the anointing in the areas of spirituality, business, music, finance, and relationship. We shine the light, amen, by the help of Almighty God and people who empower in multidimensional areas of people's life. So, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you sanctify these airwaves, God. Lord God, have your way on this line, Lord God. Tonight, Lord God, we bind anything that's not of you, Lord God. We loose angels all over via internet, whether it be smartphones, iPads, Lord God, every source of technology that's operative right now, Lord God. We bring everything under subjection of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, by your redemptive blood, Lord God, we decree that it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, yes, indeed. As you know, this is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. The number for tonight is 347-945-5416. That's
Hello, Pastor Brown. I can't hear you. Bishop.
Hello.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you. It seems like I lost Pastor Brown. What he was saying was, I think he's going to have a prayer. So we can go ahead and have the prayer. So you can do a prayer for him. Bishop. Bishop? Hello? Bishop? I don't know what. Bishop, can I hear you? Do you hear me? Pastor Brown? Pastor Brown?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pastor Brown, are you back, Pastor Brown?
No, this is Bishop.
Okay, hold on. Let me see. Pastor Brown.
Hello, praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, okay. Amen, amen.
It's not all over. I feel like too many people live one time, and I got you twice.
All right, there's no problem, sir. We can go on with the interview, yeah. Amen. We're live on the air?
Yeah, we're live.
Okay, okay. Well, again, we apologize, amen, for the technical difficulties. I was talking, I was praying. Apparently, I must have not been heard. So, again, we apologize, but this is quite normal. Whenever we bring people of this such magnitude on, I know I don't think this is strange. I don't think this is strange the least bit, amen. But it just lets me further know that everything is right in order. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your anointing that destroy yokes, Lord God. I thank you for the Spirit of God, Lord God, that dwells with everybody who's on this line here tonight, Lord God. I thank you for your bishop, Lord God, who you call for such a time as this, Lord God. Lord God, I ask even as his wife is praying, while the ministry is praying, I come in perfect agreement, Lord God, and we come subject to the Spirit of God that is operative, Lord God, that guides us all, Lord God. We bind anything that's not of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We loose ministering angels over these lines, Lord God, and we take authority in thy name, Lord God, over everything unclean and everything defiled, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, and we release peace, Lord God. We release, Lord God, order, Lord God. We bring everything subjective to the kingdom of God, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God. And we, Lord God, we believe by faith it is done, Lord God. And we decree it is done, Lord God, by the authority you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank you, Lord. Okay, and we going now. We're going to proceed forward. Amen. This is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. The number calling tonight is 347-945-5416. We empower people of God through the anointing in areas of spirituality, business, music, finance, relationship, and we also showcase people who empower multidimensional in the lives of God's people. The views expressed on this program by our guests does not reflect Entertainment Media Group or On the Spot Nathan. Amen. This program is designed to edify, to build up. Amen. Although I am in perfect agreement what is taught at the worship place, I am personally in agreement with Bishop Harold Ronaldson and also his wife, Prophet Dewan. Amen. If you wish to contact them, he will provide that information, amen, at the end of this interview where you can reach him or his ministry concerning anything you may have heard on this broadcast. But I believe, amen, according to this company, this Kingdom Business Company and the Praise and Media Group, we believe in one God, Jehovah, Yahweh, El Shaddai. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Messiah spoken by the Old Testament prophets, walked with 12 disciples whom he had chosen, ordained as apostles and prophets, who laid the foundation of the New Testament church. We don't have a religion. We have a culture founded on the God-breathed, inspired word of God. If you wish to discuss these things, amen, we would be so glad to accommodate you. You can contact, send an email to emgpresident@gmail.com. In Jesus' name. Now, amen, we're going to get into our opening scripture before we bring forth our song, amen, by our songstress. In Jesus' name. I'll be coming from, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're coming from the book of Psalms. And I'll be coming from the 15th verse of the 89th Psalm, the 15th verse through the 18th. And it reads, "Blessed is the people that know that joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." I've just finished reading Psalm 89, verses 15 through 18. Blessed are the hearers and doers of God's holy word. Now at this time, I will bring forth our worship and praise leader on the mantle of God, none other than Letitia Sampson Brown. Come forth, woman of God.
I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low, I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, why so much hurt and pain? But He knows what's best for me. My weary eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now at this time, I'll introduce our speaker, or amen, interviewer, amen. He's going to bring forth the jewels, amen, I should say, share his testimony and everything. We're going to ask him some questions tonight, amen. Amen. I thank God for this man of God, amen. I almost feel like I knew him in the spirit, amen. I didn't interview his wife a couple of times, amen, and heard so much about him, amen. I see the fruits, amen, of his labor and his diligence in the kingdom of God. Amen. He's the founder of the Worship Place down there in Jacksonville, Florida. Amen. Where him and his wife, they're birthing our prophets. Amen. Preparing people for this this New Testament call. Amen. I have on the line with me Bishop Harold Rollinson. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, I know you're a busy man of God. Amen. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us on this program. Amen. As you can see, I'm pretty sure you're already used to this, where you and your wife, things was acting up a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But nevertheless, amen, God is in control. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, amen. And, you know, and a lot of people, from what I've heard, is very interested, amen, to know about you, amen. A lot of people have heard about you, amen. So we bless God for those who are joining us on here tonight, amen, as we talk to this man of God, to this holy vessel of God. But when did you know that you were chosen in God, and what is your mission?
Hey, well, you know, I was a teenager, just graduated from high school, enrolled in Anderson College in South Carolina, and in my freshman year, you know, God began to speak to me about the direction I had chosen to go. It was my plan. I was majoring in business administration, planning to go to law school. And when God spoke to me about that, and I found myself, you know, after being, I guess, pointed by my mother and my aunts and my father toward, you know, the gospel and preaching as a teenager, God spoke to me about that on a more serious level, and found myself at the feet of God one night, in the middle of the night, and God, you know, told me that, you know, my direction needed to be a direction that was more kingdom-like than just wanting to be an attorney who gets rich. And so I found myself moving from Anderson College and going to Terrell, Texas, where I began to enroll in a program to learn more about God's word, and to learn how to be a better speaker, and found myself moving from there to Abilene Christian University, where I got a theological background. I got a bachelor's and a master's degree there, and then God sent me out. I began to pastor at the age of 20 in a little town called Coleman, Texas, in the middle of West Texas, where God really began to give me my training as we began to deal with his people, and in a more religious setting, trying to be true to that religious belief, it somehow I did not fit in the religious background that I was in. And after, you know, being a what they call a poster boy for the Churches of Christ, I traveled around raising money for colleges with choir. It was in choirs and me all over the country to raise money, bring it back to the schools. And I was highly recruited for several churches upon getting my master's degree. and found myself not fitting, even though people thought they wanted me. They didn't know what they were getting. And I came in as a youth pastor here in Jacksonville and lasted about 6 months and found myself out without a job after 6 months of pastoring or being a youth pastor, and without a job, just got married about 2 weeks earlier before I was kind of tossed out and found myself having to go to a different type of school where God began to really teach me about kingdom life, and I was thrust into the marketplace where I learned to be a drug counselor. After that, I became assistant dean and then dean of students of Edward Waters College. And during that experience, I met many business leaders. I got training for dealing with the people of God. And God gave me a clearer mission about what it is that I needed to be doing. And that mission was God had mercy on me in the midst of all of that, in the midst of days of not having money to pay your rent, having to move in with people, all of those kinds of things. God showed me that my mission was, in spite of my external circumstances, God had chosen me and found me to be faithful. And so my mission is to be faithful to the call that God has called me into, in spite of what the external circumstances might be, whether I have a lot of money in my pocket, whether I don't have any money in my pocket, whether people are sticking with me or whether people are rejecting me, my mission is to remain faithful to God.
Praise God, praise God. So when did you know you had the anointing to be a father of so many leaders?
You know, that question is a very, very interesting question. You know, I think that what we find ourselves is in the midst of doing, you discover what it is that you are doing. Over the years, and because of the experience that God has given me, and because of the relationships that God gave me in the midst of times that I didn't plan for, God positioned me to be able to advise, to be able to mentor, be able to share experiences and knowledge that God had given me. And I found myself in that position. I just came into it. It was like, It's what God had positioned me to do, and I found myself doing it. And I think that when we have we call them offices or positions, I don't necessarily like to call it that, but just for our conversation tonight, we find ourselves doing these things before we ever are officially ordained. And ordination turns out to be a confirmation of the function that or the role that one has been doing over a period of time. And so one would serve as a pastor, and he would be pastoring people long before he would ever or he or she would ever be ordained or officially labeled. That because those names are simply descriptions of the function or the role that one is in or one is functioning in. And so I found myself being that. People were drawn, and people are drawn to us to gain information, to for words of comfort, for words of instruction. Never have really had to seek anybody or ask anybody to let me cover you or let me do this for you. People are naturally drawn, and people make the request to do that. And so that for us, that's been a natural function that God has called us into, it, and people are drawn to that. People are drawn to your gift. And so it's not like, hey, look, I'm a bishop. Come on over here. Let me cover you. You know,
right.
it didn't happen like that for me.
Mm. Okay, amen. I'm definitely excited about that, amen. Because we know a lot of people in this day and age, they just find themselves being covered just about anything, which leads me to my next question. And I've asked your wife this question, sort of in part in this question, but God has revealed to y'all mysteries pertaining to His kingdom. Mysteries pertaining to His kingdom. I find that one of the things that you can tell about a person who is connected to God, who has a relationship with God, He gives them revelations of a lot of things pertaining to the kingdom that you can't find in a book. You can't find it on Word Network. You can't find it on TBN and other VS outlets. So with that being said, what are the ingredients to a kingdom preacher?
You know, that's like, you know, God determines the ingredients He needs for the time. It's like Esther says, for a time like this, or for the time that God's dealing with someone, if you think about the role that God wants us to play, you know, I talk to people a lot of times, and they have boxes that they want to put prophets and apostles in, and if and you say ingredients, well, the ingredients that God needed for Isaiah were specific for Isaiah's task with Judah, with Israel being so rebellious at the time, where the ingredients that he needed for Nehemiah, where Israel was in captivity, and the temple had been destroyed, and he needed a Nehemiah spirit to go back. And so I think that when we get into recipes, we get into it almost become witchy.
Hey, you just going to shoot straight from the hip, huh, Bishop?
Yeah, I'm just shooting. That's the way I am. That's what you called me for, right? you know, because we begin to put people in boxes. We come up with these formulas that God didn't come up with. And so God determines, I think God determines what He needs for the task at hand. And so He would say that there are many gifts, and He says, you know, the manifestations of those gifts would be sometimes different. And so when I was in religion, I was in a group that would say that, you know, this is God gives you the Holy Spirit only when you're baptized in water. And one of the reasons I was kicked out of the group, because my question was that if you look at the book of Acts is not the Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, yes.
And the theme of the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit works as it wills. When you look at 1 Corinthians, it says that the Holy Spirit distributes gifts as it wills. Yeah. In other words, the Spirit has the ability to determine what gifts are needed for the particular task. And so I say that the ingredient, if there was an ingredient, I think the ingredient would be that we be found faithful to what God calls you and I into. And that person is faithful to the call of God for his life and for his work in the kingdom. And if one can be faithful to God's call, and to what God has called him into the kingdom, because he will call some of us to be a T.D. Jakes and be high in the limelight, and then he might call some of us to be those who are really holding up the grunts or those who are really the foot soldiers. But all of us have been called, and all our callings are valued by God. Mm. And so, you know, when I hear that word ingredient, you know, I say, you know, they got to be, you know, Paul would say, you know, God called me both to be a teacher and an apostle and a preacher.
Yeah.
And he would say, you know, to Timothy, he would say, now you commit those same things that you've seen in me into faithful men also. And he would tell Timothy that he's got to be faithful. He's got to be courageous. He's got to be one who's able to reprove and rebuke. He's got to be able to do that with long suffering. You know, and so when you look at all those different things, I think it rolls back to what Paul would say, these are the fruits of the Spirit. These are the evidence of God's Spirit dwelling in your life.
Yes.
You follow me? And so
yes.
I would say that those things would be the ingredients for God to call someone to do the work in his kingdom, that he's Spirit-filled, and the manifestation of that of the Spirit in his life say that this person manifests the fruits of the Spirit and not the fruits of the flesh.
Amen. Amen. Before I go on in, I'm just enjoying this. Amen. 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. For those of you who are on the internet, amen, who are on the website, you are online with Bishop Harold Rollinson. He's the founder of The Worship Place in Jacksonville, Florida, where him and his partner, his wife in ministry, amen, who he's covering, Prophet DeJuan Holmes Rollinson, the Marketplace Prophets, amen, who God has given them a charge to birth out in this season. So definitely if you wish to chime in, or those of you who are already on the line, you can definitely press 1 if you want to jump in any time and ask Bishop a question according to what we're talking about. Amen. Don't come in here out of order, because you will be disconnected, amen, if you come up here out of order, amen. Amen. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. But anyhow, when you was talking, Bishop, just now, thank you, Holy Spirit. When you was talking just now, you was talking about everybody is not called to be on the shine light like T.D. Jakes and various other men, women of God. When you was talking, I received a revelation, and it was just about David. Not everybody could be a David, but God used a David and allowed him to reach that plateau of being over an army and being a prophet and also being king and wearing all these different hats. But it's close to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things you've seen that can destroy a ministry, like people, you know, you have 15 people and every last one of them wants to be, how should I say, the forerunners. Because we all leaders in our own right, you
mm-hmm.
know, but we have everybody wants to be the head and not knowing that I need my legs to walk. I need my arms to carry what God has given me to carry, you know. So what's some of the things that you've seen in your years in ministry or that you and your wife has labored that could destroy a ministry, and how do you safeguard that?
Well, I think the number one thing is when it's our ministry and not God's ministry. I think, you know, he's called us to be a part of his kingdom. And to move and his kingdom be manifested in us. And I believe that every congregation should be a part of the kingdom of God. And so I think that one of the things that happens is when, like you said, there's so many people, churches, you know, little churches popping up everywhere on every corner. You know, I don't judge one way or the other. One thing I caution about, though, is that, you know, we're certain that God called us And when God usually calls someone, he has somewhere that he wants them to go specifically.
Right.
And so make sure that these are, we understand that these are, that this is God's kingdom that we're working in, that it's about, it's all about Christ and not about us. And when we make it about us, and when we make it the people of God, we want to make them our people, versus mm-hmm. understanding that these folk that we minister to belong to God.
That's right.
And I think sometimes people start churches as a result of being hurt, and hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jesus.
I think that, you know, a lot of times we are in ministry where we honestly have been hurt and abused, and I think we need a period of healing.
That's right.
Before we, I guess, proceed forward as becoming somebody's pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people try to pastor, and they're not really called to pastor. They may be a prophet. They
Amen.
May even be an apostle, but they're not a pastor. And I think that a lot of that, or the reason that they become pastors, is because of economic issues versus, you know, moving forward in your calling and allowing God to be your provider. We try to make people our providers. And a lot of times, because we feel the pressure of everyday life, when we try to make the people our providers, then we strong arm and stronghold people. Sometimes you'll find people using trickery to raise money. You have all these kind of issues going on, and people are abused in the process, and it destroys not only that congregation, but it destroys the kingdom and impacts the whole kingdom of God, because people are so wounded that they can't move forward in their destiny. And so you know, I think that I think that those are some of the things that, you know, would call for the dismantling of a congregation. Lack of leadership, and, you know, leadership is always gonna, you know, most problems in churches will go back to leadership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I think that was very key what you said about hurt people in leadership hurt people. And that's one of the things that I see at work. And like you said, there needs to be a healing process, a process where, you know, that scar tissue, you know, that mm-hmm. scar tissue, you need to get that, you know, all that stuff. You need, all that stuff need to come out. And so I just really believe that we need to just continue to pray for them, that they may get to the place where they can be sensitive to the things of God, because we know that that pain and that hurt can definitely cloud your discernment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can definitely cloud your discernment, and when you think it's God leading, it could be very emotional. So you're saying that if you're not allowing yourself to heal, you can definitely fall victim to being led by your flesh instead of by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, because what happens is everything is filtered through your pain. You see people through your pain. Your decisions are made through your pain. And a lot of times we spend a lot of time trying to avoid pain.
Mm.
And so you find people who've been hurt, well, they become high control because they're trying to control the possibility of being hurt again. And so they become micromanagers almost, and insistent that you know, things are done their way, and they filter people who may be earnestly saying, well, I got a word, I need to share this with you, and if they feel like it's against them, then that person becomes targeted. And then sometimes that person even abused it from the pulpit. They're treated, you know, ostracized, and all of that comes as a result of someone trying to protect themselves from being hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important that, you know, we get deliverance. It's important that we are ministered to. Even after we had deliverance, you know, we still need somebody to minister us and help us to heal. You know, you hear Jesus saying to that man who had been bruised and beaten and left side of the road, left for dead, Jesus took him to a safe place and said, take care of them, and whatever it costs you, I will repay. And so that's part of what we do. We believe that God has called us to do, even at the worship place, is for a place where people can come and be healed. We're an apostolic church, so we don't expect everybody to stay forever, but we want people to be made whole, to be ministered to be equipped. Some people will need to be trained, and then we want to be able to send them out and be a place like Jerusalem was, where they can come back. You know, when Paul went on his missionary journeys, he went out, and then he would have a place to come back, and then he could consult with James there in Jerusalem, who was stationed there in Jerusalem. And so, you know, part of what we have to do is, you know, we have to have a place, a safe place for people to come, where they know that they won't be attacked. They know that whatever their weaknesses are, they can reveal them, because we're going to try to help them be strengthened in that and help them bind up their wounds and get ready to go back out and pursue the destiny that God has called them into.
Praise God, praise God. You know, it's funny you said that just now, because my opening scripture, I started to come from Acts chapter 15. But then I'm sitting here reasoning with the Father. I'm saying, Lord, that's probably my flesh, because I would love to read that. Because I often called you even before I had, you know, done this interview. I often call, and the Lord has shown me you were a James, that you were a James, and I often call your wife on Elijah. So I often refer to you as James and Elijah, and people are like, who are you talking about? You know, and I say that's just something that the Holy Spirit revealed to me, and just a revelation about you, that when the apostles and the elders, they met with James to sort out the doctrines and everything concerning the Gentiles, and, you know, the wisdom that he began to impart to the people of God. And so, you know, I said, well, that's how I see them in this hour. So I definitely bless God for you and your wife. Amen. 347, before I go on, amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. I'm getting texts as we speak. People saying that they're on, they're being blessed, and they're listening. Amen. Don't be intimidated by Bishop. Amen. You know, he has a lot of wisdom. Don't be intimidated. Amen. Amen. 347-945-5416. For those who are on via internet, or those who are on the line, you can just press 1 if you desire to get in. We're definitely going to continue as we do this interview with Bishop Harold Rollinson, founder of The Worship Place in Jacksonville, Florida. Amen. So if you get down there, I encourage you to go by there and see them and be blessed. Amen. And let the fire of the Lord come into your life. Amen. So having said that, what was the vision that the Lord gave you concerning the worship place down there in Jacksonville, Florida?
Well, as I, you know, said just a few moments ago, that, you know, I guess I got kind of ahead of us, that, you know, our vision is, you know, is to be an apostolic place, a church where people can come and be trained to perfect their gifts, be perfected in their gifts, a place where apostles can assemble and meet and strategize kingdom business, a place where prophets can be trained and honed their skills, honed in and directed, and a place where, you know, they can be there and be available to give words of encouragement to those who God gives them words for, and to be able to send them out also, that God's word will leave those four walls, because we're talking about kingdom work. We're not talking about being locked in four walls, but give opportunities. And part of what has to happen for us to be able to do what the vision that God's given us, we want to build a strong place where not only people can get training, but that God will send the financial sources so that we can send people out. And people can be free to be apostles who are traveling the world and not have to worry about, you know, being able to meet the needs of their family, and they, you know, trying to be able to find sources, you know, even just to travel and to get back, you know, but that takes a strong commitment on those who are members of the congregation to see the need beyond just, you know, having a nice building to assemble in, you know, a few times a week. But we see our mission as being a global mission where we pull our resources together to sponsor and help those be able to go and establish churches, you know. And, you know, that's the vision. We think that's a biblical vision, you know, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians, now for the collection for the saints. In 2 Corinthians, he talked about those who in Macedonia gave out of their poverty. Well, why were they giving that money? They were giving that money, you know, so that they could meet the needs of the poor saints that had need, that Paul talks about. He brags about how Philippi sent money, an apostolic church who sent him money so that he could be out on the missionary journeys that he was on. And so we're trying to build something there where people can not only be trained, but people can be sent. And that's not opening the door and say, we'll see you when you get back.
Amen. So let me ask you something, Bishop. We're living in a time, amen, where a lot of people, they haven't been educated on the fivefold ministry. They haven't been educated. You know, a lot of them still in, you know, like I have a mother, and she, you know, she came up in a particular denomination.
Right.
And those people came from people who were taught back in, you know, the latter part coming out of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that mindset there. And so where their understanding, I mean, God was able to speak to them, but because they couldn't read, there
right.
was a lot of things they had to really be in tune with. So they just said, look, just trust the Lord.
Right.
You know, so God, of course, God will hold them to that according to their trust in him. So how do you, when you've been taught that, look, as long as you got a pastor, you're good. As long as you know, you got your pastor, you good.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that, you know, the dimension that a pastor walks in may not necessarily be the dimension. And see, you could be a pastor, but you may not be apostolic. So what are some of the things that you could say to somebody? And I see your question, caller. I see your question. I ask Bishop your question after I ask him this one. How can we educate people the role of the fivefold ministry and how important it is to be apostolic when a person might heard, I heard apostle when I pray, well, God may just be calling you to be apostolic.
Mm-hmm.
Get underneath bishop and prophet instead of saying, well, I'm called to be an apostle. You're like, no, you're not called to be an apostle. You're called to the apostolic. So how would you address that?
Well, I think that we have to meet people where they are, and I think that we have to, sometimes we use biblical words and people really can't grab hold of that in this, you know, this modern time. Right. And so I think that we've got to figure out ways to find out where these people are, and to
right.
be able to say it in a way that says what the word says, but it says in a way where they can comprehend, you know, what it is that you're talking about. You know, it's, you know, sometimes if you're talking to guys, you know, you have to say, well, you know, on the football team, everybody can't be a tackle. Somebody's got to
mm-hmm.
be the guard. Somebody's got to be the center. And it takes all these different roles on the line to make the line work. And so, you know, we have to be able to explain that, you know, what is an apostle really is? What are their functions? You know, what is it they really do? You know, and what's that all about? And so when you say to speak their language, you know, they know something about what a missionary is, and so you start with that point, and then you expand on those responsibilities that
right.
go along with being an apostle. But you know, you got to find some common ground, something they can grab hold to, and not let it be like we speak mysteries. You know, we need to be able to speak it so they can understand it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. 347, before we get to the next caller, the question of the caller, 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. We're on with Bishop Harold Ronaldson. He's the founder of The Worship Place in Jacksonville, Florida. Amen. Where him and his wife, Prophet Dewan Holmes Rollinson, they are birthing out prophets, amen, and leaders, and meeting with apostles and training people in the apostolic, in Jesus' name. Now, this question comes from way of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
This question says, do we forgive those who have hurt us and say they will never hurt us again, but do?
Well, you know, Jesus said, how many times did we turn the other cheek? You know, I think one of the most important things that we have to do is in our prophetic roles, in our apostolic roles, is that we have to be carriers of the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm.
And because if we want our prayers to be heard, how can you be an intercessor and holding a grudge when Jesus says that he's going to answer our prayer if we don't do what? If we forgive our neighbor, our brother, and don't
mm-hmm.
hold any grudges.
That's right.
And so, you know, we can't forget about those. We can't get so caught up in the gifts that we forget about what Jesus said. You can speak the tongues of men and angels, and you have not love,
no.
You're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just making noise, in other words. And so he says, and love what? Love covers a multitude of things.
Yes.
And so we got to walk in love. We got to remember what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, because we are a manifestation of that. And the gifts are only a tool to be used so that we can get introduce people to that Jesus who preached that Sermon on the Mount.
Amen. I believe we have a caller that wants to come on. Pastor, you can let the caller through. Amen. You know, we got to take good care of Bishop. Amen. Amen. Caller, are you there? Okay.
I can't hear
him. Yeah, Pastor, check the board and patch the caller through. Okay, let me see. Okay, make sure we have somebody on the boards. Yeah, switchboard operator, just the callers are saying they press 1 to get in. So just, you know, it's okay. You can let them through. Amen. But, and Colin, when you get in here, just announce yourself as we continue on with this interview. Amen. So, okay, there we go. There we go. Okay.
Hello.
Praise the Lord. How you doing?
doing great. I'm blessed. I can't complain. How are you guys?
Great.
Good,
Wonderful.
This is T, actually. And I want to say, you know, blessings to everyone. But I have a question, like, how can I put this? If you're not living right in God's eyes, how can you tell me that I need to do different things in life, you know, whether it be sleeping with someone I'm not married with or smoking, which, you know, these things, I do smoke. I'm praying and asking God to remove it from my life. But how can another person that's doing all these things come at me and say, this is what I need to do, but that's what you're doing? Who do I follow? I mean, I'm going to always follow God's words, but how can you minister to me or witness to me when you're doing worse than I'm doing?
Jeez.
Yes, I am a babe in Christ, but...
And you know that that's challenging because, you know, and it's sad that people blatantly, you know, live a lifestyle that's inconsistent with what God has called us into.
Right.
And so I just, you know, I encourage you that, you know, you may just need to find a place where, you know, the morality is on a whole nother level, and that doesn't nullify the power of the gospel. That doesn't nullify your salvation,
right?
But it can inhibit your growth because apparently it hurts you, and it's your focus is on that, and you need to be in a place where you can be nurtured, and you can grow. And you can reach the manifestation of God without any distraction, because that's the spirit of distraction, spirit of deceitfulness.
I know Mr. Walker.
Amen.
And my and I love you, Faith.
God bless you.
My sister is a minister as well, and it's just different things I hear, because I'm trying to go forth. I'm, you know, trying to do a transformation to be closer to God. But it's just like certain things I hear. Like, how can you tell me not to do X, Y, Z when you're doing, if not worse, you know, than what I'm doing? And I'm putting my best foot forward to, you know, make amends with God and stop all the things that I'm doing. You know, I am not ashamed of anything I've done in my life. Back in the 80s, yes, that's why my testimony is It Could Have Been Me by Curtis Foster. Because I was on crack. I mean, I did it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for it.
Yeah.
I don't thank man. I thank God for it, because that's who saved me from my problems, because I was looking at 21 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know something? I just really wanted to say something. Even while you were speaking, why does a man beat his wife? A man beat his wife because he's not happy with himself. So any leader or anybody in ministry who is living contrary to the word of God, they're saying one thing and not living according to God's word, then they're not happy with themselves. They're not happy with the lifestyle that they're living, which is contrary to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see you, it just begins to cause a deep reflection within themselves. I mean, it just adds on to the war that's going on in themselves. You know?
Okay, but you say man. What if it's woman? Is that the same?
Okay, well, I did when I say, well, you know, the Bible talks about
okay,
man.
Okay, okay. I see, I didn't know that, so that's why
okay.
I said.
Amen. But listen, we have Bishop on the line. Is there any questions you want to ask Bishop before?
Well,
because we don't want
to. That's who I was really getting to. You know, the thing is, you know, I really, and like I said, Faith Walker knows me personally. I've spoke with him quite a few times, but it's just different things that I hear from other people that's supposed to be godly. But I have my doubts, and it's like a confusion, you know, because I've went to one level, but then I end up finding myself, like, sliding back into the same little process because I'm like, how can this person tell me anything when they're doing more than or worse than I'm doing?
Mm. Yes, that is really, really sad, but what I want to encourage you to do
okay.
is to keep your focus on Jesus.
Okay.
And, you know, he's that's the whole purpose of the fivefold ministry, that we might come into the measure and stature of Jesus Christ, a mature individual in Christ. And you got to get it to a place where, you know, you are in a place where there's an apostolic environment, pastors, and teachers and apostles and prophets all pouring into your life that you might become a full-grown individual. And one of the fallacies of an organization where it's that one leader is that they become the focus. There is no balance. There
right.
is no one to hold. Those, as in this case, you say this individual, she's a pastor and she's it, then there's nobody there to hold them accountable. And so God wants balance. And so God gives us.
But can I say this, Pastor? I was actually going to church. I was doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And just listening to certain different people, I just stopped going to church. I'm not even going to church now.
Well, I want you to encourage you. You need to fellowship. You need to fellowship, and you need to find a way to do that. And I encourage you to fellowship in a place where you can find balance.
Okay.
And there are places where they say that they're apostolic, but if there's no balance, then I question that.
Okay.
You know,
Thank you so much.
And so we need all those offices functioning so there's balance in there. Yes.
Me and your prayers, please.
Yes.
We love you, too.
And I know
God
your
bless.
Wife. She's a beautiful person.
Well, thank you.
And
she
I love her,
you
know, and from listening to you, you're just as beautiful as she is, and I love you as well. And I love you, too, Faith.
God bless you.
Keep me
God
in
God
your prayers, please.
We will. Thank you.
Always.
Thank you.
Amen. We have
Amen.
Another caller, Bishop, I believe. Caller, state your name.
This is Lady J, president of Interpregnant Media Group.
Praise God.
Y'all done stirred me up, brother. I had to call in and say something about that because me being a woman of God and being young, you know, I have been in church since I was born. And I have experienced a lot of church hurt, a lot of church leaders. And, you know, one thing that I tell people, you know, as a minister myself, do not let man hold you back, because if you let man hold you back, you won't even be able to receive from God like you're supposed to.
Amen.
You have to be led by the Spirit of God no matter what's going on in your life, or you'll never stay saved in this life. You'll never, experience God. You'll never experience His Spirit. You'll never experience true worship. You won't even be able to receive the prophetic word that is given to you unless you open up yourself toward God and not look at man. If we looked at men, would none of us be here. Amen. And that's
Amen.
All I'm going to say. But y'all have stirred on my spirit. God bless you, Bishop. God bless you, Mr. CEO.
Christ is the head. Amen. Christ is
amen.
The head. I'm with Bishop. This Christ kingdom. Amen. We just laborers in the vineyard. Amen. Amen. Bishop, I didn't want to let T go off the air because I just felt in my spirit right now that we should pray for her. Can you lead us in prayer, being as your overseer, amen, I'll be in agreement with you.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. We thank you for this request that comes forth from T. We thank you, Lord, that you
you
have a safe place for her, and we prophesy that she will find that safe place. We believe that she will find it within the next 7 days. She will find a place where she can go, where a true apostolic presence is there, true accountability there, a place of morality, a righteousness that represent you. And so we thank you, Lord, for sending ministering angels to care for her right now, Lord, and to mend her heart. We bind the spirit of disappointment. We bind the spirit of doubt and abandonment, and we declare and decree at this moment that they are cast into the very depths of hell, and that she is healed from all the hurt that she has experienced even at the hands of your people. And so we bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is so in Jesus' name. Lady J, you still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Amen. Anything else you wanted to ask Bishop at this time? I know you may have a question or two. You know, we got 20 minutes left in our broadcast. Call us before Lady J asks her question. We got like 20 minutes left. I know the lines are packed. People want to talk to Bishop. Amen. Bishop's going to be with us probably another 20 minutes, so you can definitely chime in. Amen. 347-945-5416 via internet. All you have to do is call in, press 1. If you desire a quick word of prayer, we'll be in agreement. If you just want to ask Bishop something, maybe a word of wisdom or something of that nature, he's here up for the next 20 minutes, I believe, 25 minutes or less. He's the founder of the worship place with his wife, Prophet Dewan Holmes Ronison. Amen. Go ahead, Lady J.
My question is, you know, as a man of God, how did you know when you found your real Prophet Dewan?
How did I know?
I want to know that.
Yes, how did you know?
How did you know? Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I don't know if I can share that on the radio, but
a little bit.
Amen. You said she's straight from the hip, Bishop. Amen.
I'm not gonna put you out there, man of God, but you know, everybody want to know.
Yeah.
I know I ain't the only one.
Get out the prophetic,
you know,
amen. That was one of my questions.
I don't know if she shared with you how we met.
She kind of did, but you can go ahead and give us your version.
She gave us a little bit.
She did.
Yes,
well,
a little bit.
Well, she was the person who did my media. I told her I was looking for someone to do some media stuff with, and she recommended Prophetess Dewan, and I'd never met her before. I think she had some event, had one event at our building one time, but I wasn't there, and so I'd never met her. And I own some other businesses, so I was at one of my other offices, and she came to the church to meet me, and she was on time, and I was just a little bit late, you know, at the time I was single, so I had a single man's car, and you know, a little convertible SL500, and I had the top drop back.
Oh, just a little.
And me and Dietrich Hatton was booming coming down the street, and I was bobbing my head and rocking, and she was over there in her car. She had a phone, and she was about to pull off, and of course I got out of my car with a big smile and walked over to her car, and she was looking like she was bothered a little bit, and
oh Lord,
I'm loving it.
And she got out of the car, you know, and I said, "Ooh, look at God! God is real. Look at this." And
oh my God, really?
He's real. He's real in my soul.
Now, was that the Holy Ghost?
Yes, it wasn't nothing but the Holy Ghost. And
okay, glad you explained that one, Bishop. Now.
And so we went in my office, and she was helping with me do a website she was going to do for me. And she, you know, she was in a hurry, but she stayed about probably 2.5-3 hours talking to me. And,
oh, wow. That was,
what'd you say?
I
oh,
said,
well?
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then, of course, I had to, you know, of course, I wasn't sure about what I wanted her to do, so I had to have her come back again. And, of course, then she came that second time. I think we went to lunch and stayed a couple of hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I gave her a down payment and had her to come back one more time. And the rest is history.
Amen. You just wanted to keep seeing her, amen.
What, why did you say that, Minister Pastor Brown? Why would you say something like that?
Praise God. Hey, yeah. Listen, I love it, amen. I love it.
Yeah.
Because she said when you was on this program, amen, and, you know, she did bad when she said he was just being real nice. And she, you know, he was being real nice, real courteous. And she felt like, okay, you know, what are you being so nice to me for? Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I thank God for what he's done. I mean, what a union. What a union, amen. That's, and it's just, it doesn't surprise you sometimes that by y'all two coming together, how y'all can impact so many people?
Well, you know, during our conversation, it was very interesting how that when we shared our visions, how much our visions, you know, matched up even prior to us coming together. Some of the things that we had been doing at the worship place at the time was stuff that she was doing and the desiring to do more of, and it was just something that we recognized that God truly brought together. And you know, and so we see it, you know, we see our being together as the will of God for the kingdom of God.
Praise God. So let me ask you something, amen. Lady J, you going to rock out with our sister for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, amen. This goes for the brothers, amen. I know the brothers, we got you up in here. The men who, young men who've been victimized by the streets, who come from the gangs, who come from, you know, as they say, down south, trapping, selling drugs, hustling, you know, all those things. How do you begin to teach them that, look, you know, the kingdom's on the inside of you? And I think one of the things that the prophet said is that people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And how do you begin the process of allowing a person to download the information via the Holy Ghost, well, once they receive the new birth, of course, but how you begin to, that whole feeding process, allowing that mindset through the teaching about the anointing to go forth?
I think, you know, one of the things that's unique about my being in Jacksonville was when I first came as a young man at 26 years old, I was assistant dean at one of the colleges here. And one of the counselors that worked for the counseling center was a part of the unit that we supervised. One of the counselors over there, his uncles were the guys who were the numbers guys, ran the big numbers around the city during the back in the 70s and the 60s. And through him, I met a lot of guys who were involved in drugs and had gone to prison. And like himself, even though he had a master's degree, he went to prison at 26 years old with a master's degree for robbing somebody. And you know, I met a lot of guys, you know, on that side, and had an opportunity to be in their midst and do a lot of things because they had felonies and I didn't. And so I was able to represent them on a level of politics and whatnot. And these guys are really, really good friends. I got one that calls me every morning. And during the time of my first wife's death, when some pastors didn't call me. This brother who was a heroin dealer called me every day up and it's gone on 4 years. Every day, every morning, how you doing, Pastor? What's going on with you? Anything I can do for you? I had a meeting. I had a television show, and I had a meet around the table. We did an interview with old drug lords. Oh, some of them had done 25. One guy was there at the table. He did 25 years in prison. While in prison, set a guy on fire and burned him up. Guys who sold heroin and drugs, guys who were hit men and who had thrown people in the St. John's River, all of them around the table, and they were in their 60s now, and they were their sons and grandsons were now the drug lords in the city. And so we made a plea to them to come off of the streets and to not make the same mistakes of these guys who were in their 60s who they looked up to, and they were saying to them that what we did is not something to be proud of. And several of them were baptized and received God's Holy Spirit while we dealt with them. And how you deal with them is you got to live right before them. They got to see the manifestation of God's power in your life. It can't be, sit down, son, and let me just show you, read these scriptures. I'll get enough of these scriptures in your head. You'll change. They got to see the change manifested in your life. They got to know that you've been out there and you've done some stuff, and you got to be transparent with them, and they got to see that this thing is real because it's real right in front of them. That God's Spirit and the manifestation of God's Spirit is alive in us. But if we come to them as if we have no sin and we've never sinned, we've never done anything wrong. That's why I could appreciate that sister who was on there a few minutes ago and said, in the 80s, I was in the streets. In the 80s, I was doing this and I was doing that. And young people have to see that and understand that. And then they're drawn to that because God created all of us with a desire to worship and to serve Him. And they got to see how that can be manifested in a real, live, human, touchable human being.
Okay, I got a question for you. This is from a leader. This is for a leader of a congregation. They say they are unable to chime in. You can pretty much know why.
Mm-hmm.
This is an important question. It says, praise Him, unable to chime in. My question is, in the apostolic faith, when and how do leaders know when to release one of God's vessels without reserve or prejudice? This is from a church leader.
He wants to know when to release an individual?
Yeah, you know, in the apostolic, you know, like you have apostolic church, they want to know when and how would you know when the leaders know when to release one of God's vessels without reserve or prejudice. So in the fivefold ministry, I guess he's saying when, it, you know, you and your wife do releasing and stuff like that, but I guess he's in a situation where when that fruit is ripe and it falling off the tree, but I guess, you know.
Right, every individual, it'll be different. It's kind of like being a parent. You know, and you know what child you can trust to do what and what child you can't, what they're ready for and what they're not. And that's based on the relationship that you're going to develop while you're training, while you're pouring into this person. You're going to get that relationship. And then on top of that, you're going to get a confirmation from God. You're not going to release them on your own, but you're going to be constantly in prayer. You're going to hear from God, and God will reveal to you when to release that person.
Amen. It can't get no realer than that. Amen. It's 10:20 now, and we have probably about 7 minutes left for Bishop. Now, see, I tell you, I get you and your wife on here. I don't be wanting y'all to leave, and folk don't want to be wanting y'all to leave either. Amen. I got text messages coming in. Amen. And messages coming in. Folks want to know what's going on with Bishop. Amen. And getting another text coming in. 347-945-5416. We have Bishop Harold Rawlinson, founder of The Worship Place in Jacksonville, Florida. where he partners with his wife, amen, Prophet Dewan Holmes Rollinson, where they birth our prophets, meet with those apostles, amen, train people in the apostolic, so forth. And this leader said, from the vessel standpoint, he wants to know from the vessel standpoint, when you know when to release. I guess you already answered that question and stuff. God will confirm. God will confirm, and God will, you know, do accordingly. And I just say something. I noticed that a lot of churches, they're not able to walk in the blessing when they don't release people. You know, they're going against the order of the fivefold ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going against that order there. So, you know, I think that's something that they will have to do and just be led by God. You don't want to go out there as a dull knife, I tell you that much.
Okay.
Amen. I got so many questions I want to ask you. I'm trying to.
While you're on that, you know, in that releasing thing, you know, when you think about Paul, when he released Titus, he gave him specific instructions. It wasn't a freelance release. You know, just go out there in the world, see what you find. He said, for this reason, I left you in Crete. I left you in a specific spot for a specific reason. And so he'll say to Titus, for this reason, that you might set things, those things that are in order, that you might sit some elders down, that you might appoint some elders, that you might deal with the false doctrine there. He had a specific task. It wasn't like, oh, just go do whatever you want to do. No, it wasn't like that.
So what is the job? My last question, and then we're going to give out all your information, your address, how people can get to the worship place and all your links and everything and everything that y'all doing. We got about 5-6 minutes left. What is the job of an elder?
Well, you know, when you look at elders, you know, several different terms in the New Testament talk about elders, and so the elder job is going to be specific, with a specific task, on a specific assignment, and that's going to be determined by the pastor or the bishop or whoever's in charge of them. You know, you got a specific cast. He may be in charge of administrative issues. It may be they're in charge of specific ministry, et cetera, you know. And so they would have that responsibility of overseeing, or sometimes, you know, overseeing a specific defined task in the congregation, in the kingdom.
Amen. Hey, man, I got a couple more questions, but I can't, because we'll never get off here. Hey, man. At this time, Bishop, you can give out all your information, you and your wife's information, and
Well, let me do that. Let me make sure I can do this right. our website at The Worship Place is theworshipplacejax.com, and, of course, you know, that you could get reach it that way, or my wife, you know, you can reach her, she can reach me at globalprophetic institute.com. And we have a prayer on every Monday for marketplace leaders, every first Monday for marketplace leaders, every first Friday for marketplace leaders, and then we have every Mondays and Fridays we're going to have prayer for fivefold leaders, and that's at 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and that number is 712-432-1630, and of course you have to have the code, and that code is 418609#. And then,
amen,
of course, Facebook is Prophet Dewan, and of course my name also. We can get us on Facebook. And Twitter is A Prophet Dewan on Twitter. Okay.
Amen. I know it's a lot because y'all do a lot of stuff, and it could take all night to run out down all the
stuff. Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes.
Amen. And anybody who's connected to EMG or anything like that, if you want to know what the president of marketing and promotion be posting up, she be posting a lot of different things pertaining to Prophet Dewan. We a big supporter here of their ministry. Where they do the marketplace profits, the Mondays and Fridays. You know, if you want to know why we don't support your ministry, you know, you need to call us. We'll tell you why. But definitely we support this ministry, firm believe in this ministry and the assignment that God has given them in this hour and this season. So I thank you, Bishop, amen. Please, you're going to come back and see us, amen.
Oh, yeah, I'll come back and see you. No doubt about that. Just let me know when you need me. Give me a little warning, and we'll be glad to do that. And also check the website or the Facebook. We're going to be ordaining some prophets on next month, and we want everybody to come who possibly can come and be a part of that. So just check the website for the times and dates. It's going to be a Friday. It's going to be a two-day event, and so we want everybody who can come to encourage these prophets as we prepare to ordain them and to lay hands on them.
Amen. Well, you hear that? All of God's prophets out there, I know we got all these five folders listening, amen. You say, well, you prophesy up a storm, and many of y'all do, amen. I know of you. You know who you are, amen. Go down to Jacksonville, amen. Show your face, amen.
Amen.
Go and show your face and get imparted to, get your and get spoken to, amen. Amen. And definitely get blessed up, amen, by the man of God and the woman of God, amen. Praise God. Listen, Bishop, it's been an honor and privilege to have you on here to just talk about the things of God and the vision, amen. We didn't even get to everything. Seemed like this hour and a half, Jesus, that went by so fast. But I pray that all the callers, that y'all was blessed. If you didn't get a chance to talk to Bishop, you need to schedule an appointment with him. Go to the website, The Prophet Dewan. You can just, if you have trouble looking for it, just Google it and have fun with all that information. Have fun. It's a lot. Amen. You know, but we bless God for you. Anything else you want to say before we go off the air, Bishop?
Well, I just want to say God bless you. We declare that God's going to blow this program up, and it's going to be worldwide, and you're going to have thousands upon thousands of people listening, and lives are going to be changed and blessed because of this ministry. And so we declare this ministry is blessed and victorious in Jesus' name. So we thank God for you and for you having us on here, and anytime you need us, just let us know.
Definitely. Listen, God bless y'all. Definitely connect with us and connect with Prophet Dewan and their ministry. This is Minister Faith Walker from EMG On The Spot. Nathan, God bless you, people of God. Stay connected to God. Good night. God night.
Because I've seen you work in love.